Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. I'm going to stand up because we're trying something new. So anyways, this is episode 50, and this is actually my second intro to record. The last one I did, I didn't like. I was trying standing up, so I'm keeping that going, but I don't know, I just talked way too long, it wasn't that interesting, and I've got a great, fun interview coming up with one of my best friends for my whole life, since we were 8 years old. His name's Kyle Dancy. We go down memory lane a little bit, we learn about what he's been up to. He is a Air Force Academy graduate, so he's got a really cool set of skills and memories and just a neat experience that I have no clue what it would have been like. I just play guitar and record myself talking to the camera. But anyways, I did want to get one thing off of my chest. It's something that's been plaguing me for, I don't know, the last few months. I've been in that phase where when I sit down in my car, I have to unbutton my button on my pants. And I just wanted to say that out loud. Get it out in the public. You know what the worst part is? Every time I get somewhere and I stop, I have to like, I feel like everyone immediately, I hate that feeling of everyone around is watching you. I feel like it's so not true, but it could be true for a minute. And I don't want anyone seeing me ruffling with my downstairs, like right when I pull up and stop somewhere. You get out of the car and try to pull up your pants and discreetly do that. It's super embarrassing, but maybe I need new pants, but they're the same pants I've had for like 6 or 7 years, but lately I guess I've felt a little bloated or something, but anyways, not that you asked. So I'm going to keep this short because Kyle and I talk for a while and it's a lot more interesting than anything I could come up with right now, but I just wanted to do a proper introduction and say welcome to Gathering My Thoughts. And I hope you enjoy this conversation that Kyle and I have. If you like aliens, multiverses, conspiracy theories, silly stories about teenagers being ridiculous, we go through pretty much all of that. And it's a lot of fun. So thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy it and stick around for this great interview. All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Yeah, we'll just do that. Okay. This is Kyle Dancy. We've been friends since we were 8 years old.
8 years old. Yeah. Back to 98.
Dude, I should have brought pictures. Earlier today, I was thinking I should bring a bunch of old photos because it's just you go through my life and you're there. And it's so I'm thankful to still have you in my life because it's been a long time now.
I'm glad to be here. I still have that photo of us in New Mexico when it was me, you, and Ryan. It's like on the rocks when we went hiking, and it was like
where you were standing above us.
No. We're all like shoulder to shoulder. Oh, we like climbed through some crevice.
Who took the picture for us?
I think it was Ryan's dad or Ryan's mom. They were taking us.
Yeah, I actually think one of them suggested it.
Yeah,
one of his parents was like, "Hey, let's get a picture of y'all." That was a fun trip.
That was a fun trip.
Both of those trips were fun. Basically, what we did is our mutual friend, he introduced us. I met Ryan, and then like the next week, he introduced me to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was in like fourth grade or something.
Yeah, it was way back.
And then he moved the summer going into our junior year.
Yep, to New Mexico.
And then you called me that early November. And was like, hey, during fall break, what if we drove up there and went and saw him?
And I didn't even plan it. I didn't think you were going to say yes. I was just like, you know what? Let's go see Ryan. I had no idea how far it was.
I was on the toilet reading an Archie and Jughead comic when you called, I remember. And just thinking, oh my God, can we really do that? I would have never thought that was something we could do at 16.
Yeah.
And
we
I
almost,
asked my...
We almost died.
We did. But I remember asking my parents, and I was like... basically still a 10th grader in math. And my mom was like, if you can catch up in school.
I remember this.
You can go.
Yeah.
And so I had just like so much past homework
that
needed to be done. And I remember I did so much math. And it was, I think it was just algebra. At that time, the morning that we woke up to leave, I had set my alarm for 5 a.m. And I remember seeing my clock and it said 5 a.m. And I remember in my half dream state, I was like trying to isolate the variable of the a.m. And I was like just laying there looking at my clock doing math in my stupor. And then I woke up, went and got donuts, picked you up.
Yeah.
And we drove 12 hours at 16 with no GPS. My dad just took
crazy.
He took the, what was that magazine?
Yeah, MapQuest or whatever.
No, it was the, Almanac, or not an Almanac. An Atlas, thank you. Wow. It was an Atlas, and he just highlighted the route. He's like, this is probably what you're going to want to do. And you and I would take turns driving and say, the next town is going to be this. Let's look for signs for that.
Yeah, looking back at that, that is crazy. Without like, Google Maps or, you know, the Apple Maps, like, doing that at 16, I'm surprised. Like, really, seriously, very surprised that we were able to make it there. But we didn't get lost.
We did a great job.
Yeah, we did a great
job. We actually got there early enough that Carla was like, were y'all speeding?
Yeah. It was Bone Thugs and Harmony, and I think it was Pink Floyd.
There was some Pink Floyd, but it was the weirdest playlist. It was Bone Thugs, Early November, and then I think Pink Floyd. And then once we got there, it was like the Postal Service album the whole time.
Yeah, the Postal Service,
Just as all three of us commuted around. Yeah, that album will immediately take me to driving around there at night. Remember when we went to the skate park just to walk around and look at it?
The skate park.
In Albuquerque. One night, we just went to the skate park. We didn't have anything to skate.
No, remind me. What happened?
I can't even say what happened, but we started being harassed by the local skaters. And they were using a word that is not good to use. And I remember just being like, God dang it, dude. I'm one of y'all.
we walked by a movie set. I remember that.
They asked us to be background extras. Yeah. We walked through one time and then went, let's not do that anymore. And we just kept walking.
I was like, that better have been a good take because they probably won't be able to use it.
Yeah, we're not coming back. I remember on the drive up, one of my favorite memories of the trip really is you were driving and we were still on our way there. And I was in the passenger seat, and I leaned back, and the windows were down. And I put my arm out the window, and I don't know how long you'd been driving with me asleep, but you decided to roll up the window, and you didn't know my arm was in the window. And it goes up, and I just wake up going, ah, and you go, ah, like we both started screaming, like, what's happening? Oh, my God, that was so funny. And then you drove, like, 110, and I stuck my head out the window.
Yeah.
And something hit me in the face.
I mean, I may have been driving 110. I don't know.
It may have only been 105. I just remember I wanted to see what it felt like to have my head out the window going that fast. Maybe you didn't go 110. Maybe it was 75. That's a great segue to this real quick. We'll go back. We'll just try to keep going back to that trip.
Okay.
But now that you're out of the military,
yeah,
are you still held to secrecy on anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So getting in the military. So I 15 years got out. And thank you.
It's amazing. Thanks for letting me come visit you at the academy too.
Dude, that was awesome.
That
man.
Was super cool.
All the time. Did you come out there twice? Was it or just once?
And I came out there twice, and I only got to go to your campus.
You played once. At not the Black Sheep.
It was the Black Sheep. That place was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a lot like the Door, but in wherever that
Colorado Springs.
That's right. Yeah, the Black Sheep ruled.
So. Yeah, no, we had to sign, we all got sat down in this room, we had to sign this document that said, you know, 75 years or something like that, in perpetuity, basically, you and your grandkids can't talk about this, so it was just some crazy stuff.
Yeah. So what is it exactly that you can't talk about?
Well, it's actually not even that exciting, you know, that's the funny part.
They trained you well.
Certain things you just can't talk
about.
Your
heart rate's probably just steady as a rock right now.
No, but it's good to, you know, I'm glad I got to serve, glad I got to do that. But
what are you allowed to tell me about your job that you did? Because I've asked you this before, and it's so vague, I always forget. And I'd like to, tell other people you did something with satellites?
Yeah. I can say, you know, it's called open source, so you can find this on Wikipedia. There are satellites that, you know, float around the world that can detect different launches at different speeds and times. And that's about it.
Cool. Anyone else nervous hearing some of this? I get nervous.
No, you shouldn't be. It's good. I'm glad we have it.
Yeah. I think it's cool you know how to use it and what to do with it.
Yeah.
Kind of like Ryan's situation. He's doing some really cool stuff from what I'm allowed to know.
Yeah, he is.
I had to get interviewed by an investigator by him for him to get his security clearance.
Okay, yeah.
It's because he lived with me in college.
Oh, my gosh. Forgot about that. Yeah.
And when this guy sat me down in Starbucks in public and had like made me swear and all this stuff. And yeah. I was like, dude, we're in public. This looks really weird. And he kept calling Ryan the client. No, the subject.
Okay.
And he would be like, between the years 2000 and this and 2000 yes, and this, do that. Yep. The subject, do you know if any?
So we all have to do that, actually. We all have to put like five people down as a list of like, trusted parties who we can, you know, reference if ever something crazy was to happen. Like, hey, how well do you know Kyle?
Yeah.
Does he have a drinking or a gambling problem? Like, explain to me like what he did in 2010 or whatever, mm-hmm. something crazy like that. So like it's not uncommon if you get a knock on the door and someone's going for like a top secret clearance or anything like that.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Well, my two best friends since I was 8 years old both went on to do that.
That is,
I think it's so cool.
It's crazy. I didn't think I was going to do that. And I'm sure Ryan definitely didn't think he was going to do that.
He tried not to a little bit, right? I wish he was here. That would have been fun.
That would have been awesome.
Okay, so
he's still alive, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good catch, dude.
But we all do wish he was still here.
No, he's thriving in the Navy still, and he just had his first baby,
right,
a little bit ago, and we're proud of him, and we miss him. He's so funny. Let me see.
What you got?
Sorry.
No, this is good. This is good. Keep them rolling.
I've got stuff that's okay. So now,
yes.
What are you allowed to tell me that you do for a job?
So I technically don't have a job. I've stepped into entrepreneurship.
The private sector.
The private sector. Right. It's a privately don't have an income. That's what that means. The private sector. Been working with drone technology. And building out a company to assist with logistics and analytics and safety parameters for drone and eVTOL software.
That's so cool. So I'm going to say it back. So you have a startup that's working with drone technology and then all that other stuff you said.
Yeah.
What's that a little bit? The stuff that I don't even know how to repeat back. EV was in there.
EV is eVTOLs are electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. So right now, 2023 turning 2024 in about 10 days.
Gosh.
So I know it's crazy. So 2024, it may be a household name, but 2025, everyone's gonna know what this is. It's a electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle. Basically, it's a van-sized drone that picks people up or packages. And moves them from one place to the other.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Dude, one time Haley and I were in an Uber, and it was a Tesla, and she'd never been in a Tesla.
Yeah.
And it's nighttime. We're driving in Dallas, and she's just so friendly and nice. She was like, wow, I've always wanted to be in a Tesla. How do you like it? And for the rest of the drive, the guy just kept staring at the screen and showing her all the different things. And I was like, somebody please drive this car. I was getting so scared. And she was just like, wow. And they're both just not driving. Anyways, that's what I thought of when my first thought of a giant vehicle mm-hmm. going up was just nerves. But that would be a computer driving, not a person.
So it's going to be manned, right? It'll be piloted, human in the loop. But you know, the end state would be for it to be autonomous. That's mm-hmm. the goal, right? It would be the safest thing for it to be autonomous, right? We don't want to have the whole battle with somebody flying a vehicle that may or may not be qualified at certain stages in their life. And that could get really ugly. So if we can have it all be connected on, you know, particular systems, persisting in different locations, then we would all know at least there's like a standard of safety that everybody would adhere to. Hmm. So.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's neat.
Yeah. It's fun stuff. I wish I could say more about it, but I think maybe in a year I will be able to say more about it.
Okay. Cool. We'll do this again. So back to the trip to New Mexico.
Let's do it.
We were talking on the way up here about Sandia's Peak.
Yeah.
There is a story we have from that to me sounds like it can't be true. It sounds like it can't be true. And I'm going to tell you guys right now. So Ryan's house at that time had a balcony that looked over this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a, Ryan's dad, Kirk, had a telescope on the balcony.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to protect the names though. But yeah. Yeah. Kirk.
Nah, I'm going to say everybody's and he showed us, he was letting us look at the mountain through the telescope, and he was like, he like set it up to see that rock cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this like rock cabin that was up there that looked super cool. So then later on the trip, that was like day one when we got there, I feel
I think that was like a survivor's cabin too. If you get stuck on the mountain, you have to, that's like your only place of refuge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's because that was, I know, and you're going to tell the rest of the story, but in the back of my mind, when it got scary and dark, that was like, oh no, we might have to go back to that cabin we just peed off of.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember him saying more things about the cabin, and that was probably about it being a survivor's cabin. Mm-hmm. But I think by that point, I was just like, well, that looks cool. We'll have to try to get to that later.
Yeah.
And I feel like they were telling us, don't go to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can imagine that's the only place on the mountain where people can stay the night, and it's open for everybody.
Yeah.
So if you're chilling in there, somebody else could be chilling in there too.
Yeah.
Or show up randomly in the middle of the night.
So we ended up taking the tram up to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went just walking probably immediately towards the cabin. But we took the trail for the most part. But then we hopped that fence to save some time and ran across that huge field. And I remember being so scared while we were doing that. And we made it up to this rock cabin, and it was so cool. It's like on the cliff. And we got on the roof of it.
Yeah.
And we're just standing, us three dudes standing on this cliff, watching the sunset. Airplanes are down there.
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
That was wild, because we were seeing the city lights come on, and then you'd see them move, and you're like, oh, that's an airplane. And that was, so before it got dark, though, we're standing there looking over it, and we're like, hey, let's pee off of this.
Yeah, that's the first thing you would think, you know, at 15 years old.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And so we're like, yes. So we all three pee off of the cabin roof over that huge cliff. And then we sit there, have a great bonding experience, talking about how wild it looks in the sun setting and then it being dark. And then we realize there's a time where the tram goes down and doesn't come back
only
up.
Only one tram to get off the island.
And we're pretty far away, and we got to make that. And so we start hauling it back, but we don't know the fastest way to get there. We took a shortcut, which really screwed us up.
Yeah, we didn't really pay attention to anything other than how fun it was out there. So when it was time to leave, the logistics were out the window. And we were just trying to find the fastest way to get off of that thing. We saw the tram. We knew where it was. We knew it was up, but we didn't know exactly where. So that was scary.
Yeah, and what was the thing with the badger that made us laugh so hard? Oh, it might not be as funny now, but God dang it, in the moment.
Ryan was saying... He's like, what if we just like stepped on this log right now and like a badger came out and was like,
yeah, the badger sounds he did.
He made this badger sound. Yeah, man,
that really helped me stay less scared. Laughing at him doing that helped me think we might be stuck on the mountain.
Yeah, and if we froze up there, at least we'd have some comedy. So that was was good.
He's so funny.
Yeah,
he has the ability to be making you mad and laugh at the same time.
I'm glad he's still alive.
Yeah, me too, dude. Me too. We end up making the tram, by the way.
Mm.
And I remember Ryan farted on it on the way down.
He tried to blame it on me.
He tried to blame it on me.
I was the only black dude in that tram. And he was like, looked over. I was like, don't you fart. Like, it's like only black people fart. That's like.
Dude, he's such a tool, man. I remember you didn't acknowledge it at all.
No, I did not.
We rode the whole tram. We walked all the way to the car. I drove, he sat shotgun, you sat behind, and we start driving, and then you just grabbed his neck from behind. He started screaming. That was so funny. I think after that, we went to the Wendy's, and then we ended up laughing our asses off at that Wendy's.
We went to Wendy's, and then we also went, what was it? We went to this really sketchy arcade place. It was
that the second trip, though?
That may have been the second trip.
Because he started working there by the second trip.
It was like some desolate, like quiet arcade. Like you could hear the games going on
and
in the
background.
It was
all underground. You like walk in and then have to go downstairs to get there.
It was like an escape room, but it was an arcade, and they didn't plan it that way. So it was the two coming together, and then there was like one weird guy working there. He didn't say anything to anybody. And then when we left, he ran out the door and just watched us drive away.
That was because we had gotten kicked out of the golf mini golf across the parking lot, and they were owned by the same place.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
Yeah, wait, we caused problems that whole trip.
Didn't someone take a doorstop or something like that?
Ryan, was, yeah.
Yeah.
So we were at the miniature golf is where we started, and we didn't even finish the amount of holes we paid for. We did something mm-hmm. that got us kicked out.
Okay.
So we walked across the parking lot to the to the arcade, and okay. they were owned by the same place, so okay. we didn't realize that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because somehow they radioed over here, and all of a sudden, Ryan did something stupid. It might have been taking the doorstop or something, but then we just heard security to laser tag, security to laser tag, and we start running. And that's why the guy followed us out as we drove up.
Now it's coming together. So he was actually trying to, you know, make sure we didn't steal anything, which apparently somebody did.
I don't know if he left with it.
Okay.
But he definitely made it look like he was causing a problem.
There's a doorstop at large right now.
And then we went to and then we went to the mall another day, and we went in the movie theater side. We were going to sneak into a movie, remember? And we got to the ticket person who you used to have to sneak past. Now I feel like it's all different. You just scan phones and whatnot.
I don't even remember this.
I do, because, and hopefully you'll remember this. We go to the movie, and we're going to sneak past the ticket taker is the game plan. And we get there, and it's like this million-year-old lady with like a legit oxygen tank in her nose sitting in a chair. And we were like, I can't do it. So we went into the mall, and then we broke the escalator because we all sat on it trying to ride it up.
Yes, I think we all thought we were going to get pulled up by the escalator, but it just ended, and then also
it was like too much weight on the band.
This is when the Segway first came out, and there was a Segway cop that showed up, and we just lost it.
Yeah,
this guy, he was like,
he Paul Blart it over to us.
Yeah, before that movie came out, he was like Paul Blart, and he came up, and he was just like, "You guys know what you did?" And we're like, "No, but whatever we did for you to come over here, please tell us."
And then we went to those machines that you used to. It's not even a machine; it was that thing you put like a penny in, and it just spins around forever and goes down. We were doing one of those.
And then, like, catching it before it would go down.
We were playing games with it, but I remember I wanted to try to make the penny jump and keep going. Oh, and I jerked up real hard, and I broke it. And it looked like we were breaking into it to take chance, or who knows what, but I broke it. And then I look over, and the Segway cop starts coming. So we ran from him again. And I remember you guys took off in the same direction. I ended up in one of those like kiosks with just like art. And I was like trying to act like I looked at it. And then Ryan yelled something inappropriate and got his attention. And then I ran off. And then who knows what we did
from
there.
There's so much of this trip I don't remember. I don't remember any of that. I remember the funnel. I remember him coming over. I couldn't remember why he came over. But I guess,
because I had broke the thing.
Yeah, I thought it was because we were catching it before it would go into the hole. Like,
that's where it started.
You're stealing from the foundation or whatever fund that was going to.
Yeah, that was the root of why he came over, though. Regardless, it looked like we were trying to steal from him.
Man.
That was fun. I feel like we never set out to be troublemakers.
No, never. I don't think any kid sets out to be a troublemaker.
But it just happens.
It just happens. Just by exploring life and trying to figure out where your place is. Obviously not at that mall.
Yeah. Or that McDonald's by your house.
Yeah.
I don't even remember why we got kicked out of there. I think we made a mess.
That was like middle school. I mean, you get kicked out of everywhere in middle school. But I'm pretty sure it was because somebody wanted an extra scoop of ice cream, but the ice cream machine was broken like it always is at McDonald's. So I think someone threw a fry. I don't know who did.
I feel like I remember Ryan smashing a ketchup packet and ketchup going everywhere,
too.
Oh,
yeah, that definitely happened. Mm-hmm. That's an everyday experience at McDonald's.
Yeah. But so back to the rock cabin. This is where the story sounds made up. So we end up making the trim down, mm-hmm. all that other stuff I said. We get back to Ryan's parents' house. And his dad was like, "What were y'all doing on the cabin?" And we were like, "How did you know we were on the cabin?" They had some friends come over that same night, and he took them out to the balcony, showed them the telescope, and said, "Look, you can see this cabin." And they go to look, and we were peeing off the cabin at the time he happened to be looking at it through the telescope from their house.
Yeah, that was
dude, if that was in a movie, I would say that's not the best way to write that. Yeah. That's a stretch for them to get caught that way. And it happened.
Yeah, it happened. It's crazy.
Gosh dang it. Just about always got caught.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, dinner wasn't too awkward. We could still look them in the eyes, but I wonder how much optical zoom was on that telescope.
I know. They, it was enough for them to know we were peeing, yeah. Which kind of sucks. Oh, man. Okay, let's see. What else? Okay, I guess that's it for that. So I wanted to ask you this. Yeah, do you? So you were the one who told me about ChatGPT.
Oh, man.
And it was so exciting the way you told me about it. This was a year or two ago.
Yeah, a year or two ago, yeah.
We got breakfast while you were in town.
Yeah.
And the way he pitched it was like, you remember how there was like before the internet? And then there was life after the internet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, that happened again. And I was like, what is it? Okay. So for those who don't know about ChatGPT, can you kind of...
Everybody should know about ChatGPT. An elevator pitch now. Yeah. So if you're new to the internet and you're new to the world, ChatGPT is... you could call it AI. It's like the step before AGI.
Artificial general intelligence,
yes,
correct?
Yes. And it's it uses like heuristics and, you know, algorithms to, it's like almost like a weighted decision matrix, right? It's like if you have a decision tree, it's going to, an algorithm is going to go through a decision tree and it's going to answer you. This is my rudimentary understanding of it, but basically, it goes through a decision tree and it answers the questions for you, but it's significantly more complex than that. And it has completely changed the game because you can ask it complete sentences, each and every word or block or phrase, it's going to go through a decision tree and answer exactly how you asked it. So you can give it, hey, what's the weather like today? Should I wear my thick coat or my down jacket? And should I bring something else for 4 p.m. and it can actually respond to you intelligently, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So after you told me about it, I went and played with it, and I play with it every now and then. Just I had it write praise and worship songs in the style of the Wu-Tang Clan, just to see. I've asked it for band names, and it gives terrible band names. And my theory is because it can't say them out loud.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of, I feel like a band name is just how the words sound. How it sounds, And so it would be like these like 3-word band names that were like super cheesy. But my question is, have you been utilizing it at all?
Yeah. So I got the, what was it? ChatGPT. I think I got 3. And then 3.5, and now I have like the 4 or whatever, the pro version of it.
Cool.
Because they used to pull from the 2017 library for the free version, and then the paid version is up to date to 2022, I think, so last year. So it has more like relevant information, and you can ask it a little bit more complex sentences, and... Yeah, I really like it. It's helped a lot with, you know, just like standard forms. If you're trying to look up something, if you need any legal assistance or if you need any financial assistance, it's really useful.
Yeah, Josh used it. He has his uncle owns a business where they fix coffee machines for like hipster coffee shops.
Yeah.
Or maybe just all coffee shops. And Josh got certified and whatever to be one of the guys who could fix it out here because they like branched out here. And every once in a while, he'll pick up extra jobs and go do that. And he was trying to fix one of them, and he couldn't. There was something that wasn't working. He couldn't understand why. So he decided to ask ChatGPT, how would you fix this? This is what I've done. And it gave him a suggestion, and it worked.
Jeez.
Which is pretty crazy.
That is crazy. I really think it's going to change, like, the way we do business, the way we, like, communicate and problem solve. Like, I saw, like, a school district has been, like, leaning forward into ChatGPT and AI in general, as opposed to, like, you know, like a lot of teachers were like saying you can't use ChatGPT for homework, but now teachers are saying, hey, if you have ChatGPT, how would you answer this question? It's like basically the difference between using a calculator and not using a calculator.
Yeah.
And like leaning into
that's what I thought
technology.
We were gonna do.
Yeah,
when I started thinking about it, I was like, they're going to have to just start teaching how to use prompts and what's the best ways to use this. Cause there's no stopping people from.
Yeah. In the future, there won't be less AI.
You know, when we were growing up and they were like, you won't have a calculator with you all the time
in your pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not, they won't be able to approach this the same way.
Yeah.
They'll have to just.
And I always laugh at that because like our phones are like 100 times more stronger or have more computing technology than a calculator.
Yeah, what was that, T9? Was that the one that you had to buy?
89. T89. Man, I don't know what it is now, but yeah, T89.
I think I made it all the way to college before I had to buy one of those.
The graphing calculator?
Yeah.
Which was like made right up the street, which is crazy.
Yeah, Texas Instruments, right over by...
Why Plano was balling, always.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That and Raytheon. What does Raytheon do? Can you tell me that?
They have, they're just like a defense contractor. It's just like you have Lockheed, Boeing, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, Honeywell, and Raytheon, and then a bunch of other ones.
But they're the ones whose opinions on, like, I feel like when things are going bad for them, things are going good with companies like that, possibly. Mm.
I don't know if I can.
Okay. Yeah, the dynamic of our relationship has changed over the years. I used to mess with you on the phone. I'd be like, "Hey, am I? I'm gonna ask you a question. Is this?"
can't comment on that. They supply the tires for the F-35. They have a multiple divisions. They have a space division that they just added, but they've mainly been known for missiles. They used to have a big like test facility, or it was R&D, like research, development, test, and evaluation. They had one on 380, and it keeps on getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I knew someone who worked there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I knew two people who worked there. Mm-hmm. John Douglas. Do you remember? We called him Sheriff John.
I remember the name Sheriff John. I don't remember.
Long hair. He wore a hat with a sheriff badge on for a long time. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We shaved his head and lost his hair in my car for like a year.
I didn't really know him, but I know the name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the man.
Does he work there now?
No, his dad did that whole time.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And we knew he like used blueprints and drew things, and there wasn't too much we knew. But
he's like Tony Stark over there, just building everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and then a guy named Gerald, who was the sound guy at my church growing up, he worked there also.
Okay. Okay.
Which is super cool.
Yeah. They do a lot of cool stuff.
Are you able to talk about your thoughts on aliens?
Dude, I love this topic. Yeah. 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 I mean, okay. So, what exactly?
I don't know. Why don't you just tell me your thoughts on aliens, and then you can do what you need to do.
I think the probability of there being intelligent life outside of our own is higher than there not being. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, there's billions upon billions of planets out there. And if we were to say, yeah, there's no way there's intelligent life, we would be betting against the odds. That's my take on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, like that's like coming from like statistical standpoint, mathematical, but like, you know, when I think about it, like my kid brain, I'm like, it'd be so cool if like, you know, like if aliens like showed up and we were communicating with them and like, you know, they brought us into a new age of technology and medicine and everything. But then as I get older, I look at history and every single other encounter, whoever gets found usually is not good. If a ship arrives and you don't have ships, that's bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess it is naturally for me to think of the good scenario, which is funny because many of the movies are the bad scenario.
Yeah, it's always the bad scenario. Yeah,
it's always invasion. The
conflict. Yeah,
but I always think of it as like it'll be awesome, you know. you're right. Well, what if? Because I wonder sometimes, like, what if they're not even, like, physical to some extent? Like, also, just to be that far away, I feel like the first things that would come here would be more like a drone or more like something. There wouldn't be a manned, manned is the wrong word, but an occupied vehicle. Occupied, doesn't have to be. I never even
thought about that. We're leaning so heavily into drones and autonomy and, like, we are just at like the forefront.
Yeah, why wouldn't that be what they send?
Of that for ourselves. But yeah, like why wouldn't they do the same thing? Why would they send a person or whatever it is?
Yeah.
You know, like to sit in.
Especially if they've seen our movies. It's like we can't drink the water. Yeah. We can't. It's very unhealthy for them here. That's great propaganda for aliens, right? To be like, hey, let's make them think they just
can't drink the water.
Can't do it. Don't you agree that Nope is one of the cooler takes
I love that film. Yeah, first of all, like the director, I mean, Get Out, Us.
Yeah, Get Out blew my mind. Yeah. I was too scared to see Us. I saw the trailer and I went, that one might be too scary for
me. It is scarier, like, of his three films that, like, most people know, like, that's probably one of the scary ones. But Nope was, like, a new take on an alien that I've never seen.
Same.
Where it's like, it's like all fabric looking and it's like floating.
My gosh.
And it was like,
that the UFO is the living creature.
Yeah.
Like, I'm spoiler alert.
I hope people have seen it by now. But like, yeah.
It's kind of a mid story spoiler alert.
Yeah, there's still more to it. And then I just think like the design of that alien was so alien.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was so alien, so gorgeous, and daytime, which was super cool. Like to have so much of it be daytime.
Yeah. He does a good job at making like daytime scary.
Yeah, it had it did not just seem like a simple daytime. There was it was very cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie ruled.
You know, in reality, like a lot of scary things happen in daytime anyway, but we just like we associate like safety with daytime when like I mean, this gets really morbid, but like daytime bad stuff happens all the time. So
do you think part of it is like back when we were just living in tribes and tents, like nighttime was when like the wolves and the mountain lions and the like monsters basically would attack? I don't even know if that's when they attack, but I guess if I was to get in a little hut and go to sleep and it's dark out there and you can't see very far and you know what is out there, that would be extra scary.
Yeah, it would be extra scary. Yeah, for sure.
So
for
I wonder if it's just kind of like that.
I was thinking like, So when I meant like daytime is scary, I mean like now when I think of like all the stuff happening now, like the wars going on with like different like, you know, financial decisions being made that may or may not like help or benefit people or usually disparage others. Like this stuff is scary and it's all being done like in daytime in an office room or a building. And it's like we think of scary as like, you know, like people running in our house in the middle of the night, but like scary is finding out your taxes just went up and you had no idea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, dude. Property taxes. Keeping an eye on those. Like, you think my house is worth what? I remember when that happened to me with my Sherman house. I was like, can I get them to come look inside? I was like, they're thinking this is better than it is. And that was an awesome house. But
oh, yeah. That was a nice house, man.
You got to see it. Not a lot of my friends got to see it.
Yeah. I think I've seen all of your places except for the McKinney, the one that was across from the football field,
rental house.
Yeah. I saw it, but I didn't see like the inside.
I saw your sister and your mom in that area.
Yeah.
I don't think they weren't in our neighborhood. Haley and I went over to just watch like a JV game. Mm-hmm. We didn't have kids then. And the football field was basically in our backyard and we were on the porch listening to it. And we're like, why don't we just walk over there?
Yeah.
And then your sister was cheering and we were like, hey,
I was about to say, I was like, I wonder what either she was running track or she was cheering. So
Or maybe she was just in the stands. I can't remember now, but I definitely saw them talk to them.
If it was a game, she isn't big on sports. So, but she was a big,
she wouldn't be at the game unless she was doing something there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. I don't know. Did we cover the alien thing?
Keep going.
No, but I didn't hear yours. What's yours? What's yours on?
I want it to be true. I think I've accepted. I didn't know what I thought for a long time, except that I loved the subject matter.
Yeah.
And over the past handful of years, I think I've decided, you know what? I think I want it to be because it would be so exciting, especially with how crazy this world's getting. Right, you need. I feel like it'd be a real humbling. We'd have to start looking at a lot of things differently.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're shaking up this bad right now, might as well just. But I will say, once the government started saying that they were real, I stopped thinking. I was like, this is happening. And then they started going live with some of it, and I was like, shoot. Okay, it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. That guy like went in on record, and we didn't really hear the ending of it because I haven't really kept up with it. But yeah, he went on record and he took the oath and said that, you know, he saw aliens and everything. But he's been really quiet lately. So
yeah, I go back and forth, or I've gone back and forth on it for a while, because when like the David Fravor footage, the pilots who were like watching the Tic Tac thing and they've got the conversations recorded and all that. I was in.
Yeah.
And somewhere after that, the Bob Lazar documentary came out.
I heard it. I didn't
working
see
at Area 51.
It.
It's pretty cool.
It.
Okay. Actually, on my way to Audio Feed Music Festival with Brady, we stopped that documentary or that a Joe Rogan episode with Bob Lazar had come out on his podcast.
Okay.
And we were like in the part of the drive that was like the middle of nowhere. And I was like, dude, let's pull over, stare at these stars and listen to this guy talk about
creepy.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Okay.
Except there was tons of mosquitoes and we didn't know that that stop let like all of them in the van. And then for like the next 6 hours of the drive, we were just getting eaten alive. But so I was starting to be all in then. And then I talked to you and I was like, what do you think this stuff these pilots are seeing is? And you had a thought where you said, this airplane right here is the baddest bad boy that's of public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed that technology in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what they're cooking up now?
Yeah.
And that's when I went, okay. And so that's when the idea of all that stuff just being top secret.
It could just be in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's always a huge possibility. Like, there's like, this is like unclassed. This is public knowledge. Like, they would dress up pilots in like gorilla suits whenever they would fly. So if ever they were seen and someone got close enough to look in the cockpit, they're like, a gorilla was flying.
Whoa. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. And there's like, no one's going to believe that story. Like, no one's
gonna, yeah, you're right.
No one's going to believe that.
You're right, dude.
And you're not as like,
even if it was, there was a guy in a gorilla suit flying.
Exactly. If you're a trained pilot and you land, you're like, there's no way this is going on my report. No way. Yeah, they're going to be like, what was he wearing? And they're like, you know what? I didn't see anything. but talking about aliens, like one of the things that like I thought was cool or that someone brought to my attention, and it may have been like a Neil deGrasse or may have been, I don't know, like another documentary that I was watching, but the amount of energy would be required to like actually get here would be like astronomical. And for like the fuel to get to any, like even outside of our solar system, the fuel required to go from the closest solar system to us to now would take like, I think it was like 1,000 of our like current rockets, you know, strapped together, which like would never leave our atmosphere because of how heavy that would be. But like to be able to do that and then to go back, you know, like, like no alien's going to come over here and be like, okay, now I need to turn back around. Like, hey, you guys have any, you know, insert chemical X that we never developed? And we're like, no. So like, yeah, they're not going to do that. Yeah. So like just the amount of energy to get over here is just mind boggling. So it's going to be interesting to see like what type of like, you know, what is it? Warping technology that can like just like bam, just like it'll disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. That's stuff that it's just future technology. Yeah. If it's going to happen, it's going to be future technology.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
they probably already developed because they're like further ahead in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, multiverse. You got any thoughts on multiverse stuff?
Other than Spider-Man was awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. And do you think there's any reason why the super organism hive mind of humans has been kind of obsessing over multiverses? It's kind of become a weird motif.
You're right. Yeah, it is.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah. The Spider-Man might have been the first one to really
come out mainstream. Was it Into the Spider-Verse in 2018?
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I just had Maddie too. And he didn't have an opinion, so I could watch what I want. And just he could be rocking right there.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's a key topic. People like talking about that because I think it gives everybody the ability to like, you know, what's that show like What If, is it Netflix that did What If? Like it gives everybody the ability to like to change what we know. Like we know the common Spider-Man story, we know the common whatever superhero story.
You can rewrite.
You can rewrite things. And I think that's something that we're all fantasized with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've thought about the multiverse being, if every decision we could make actually does happen, and we have a stream of consciousness that's writing one of them.
Yeah.
And so like, as soon as I decide to not go to college, I'm writing this one, but there's still a timeline where had I done that.
You want to know something that I've always thought about like multiverse and like how that applies to our real life. Imagine like, all right, this is like, if you close your eyes, quote, for a second, and there's like a big white sheet of like canvas on the ground, and you have this big like bowling ball that's like covered with red paint, and you roll this bowling ball across the canvas, right? And as it rolls across the canvas, it creates a line, and that's like your trajectory of your life. And there's only a certain part of surface area of that bowling ball that's touching the canvas and creating that trajectory, and then it rolls across to the end of the canvas and then it's done. But there was still part of that bowling ball that's red because it never touched the canvas at all. And like the multiverse would be basically you taking that same bowling ball and rolling it, walking back over to the other end where you started originally and rolling it across the canvas again and creating another line. And that's like the other life that you could have had that like you didn't experience because it wasn't you put in the fabric of time and space.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever wondered?
So this crisscrossing. So this crisscrossing and crossing of those lines is basically like you jumping to that other timeline.
Okay, sorry. I'm realizing I interrupted you. I thought
no, that was it. I totally had a huge pause, but that was like the last. That was the last part that actually meant something. But
so yeah. The crisscrossing is the.
As those like the multi those like if those lines were to ever cross, that would be like the opportunity for you to cross into that other timeline. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend who. When we were in high school, he smoked salvia.
Okay.
And it was like a 30-minute trip, but he said he thought he'd lived another lifetime. He'd made new friends. He'd had a whole new life, so much so that when he came back, he was going like, oh, my God, I remember this. Like, I remember this reality.
Yeah, yeah.
So much so that when I saw him, he was still in the middle of being like telling me the story and also having these moments where he was like, dude, I swear, but like, I remember you right now. Like he was like being like, I remember this in front of me. And I always thought that was my one of the crazy stories I'd heard of friends who'd done things like that. And I had tons of stories from friends. But then I heard on a podcast from Dennis McKenna.
Okay.
Who's Terrence McKenna's brother. They're both very, like, scientists. I don't know the big words to describe what their credentials are. But they study this stuff a lot. He was talking about that's actually a theme that happens with probably multiple psychedelics, but salvia specifically. And I'd only had this one friend's story. And so he's talking about hearing other people do this. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Finally, I can be like, it's not just a crazy story. So something's happening.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't speak on it, but I mean that sounds pretty wild.
It is like, wild that there's a common thing, and it could just be whatever's happening psychedelically to your brain during that time.
Yeah,
it could be that version of we all have tooth falling out dreams. You know, everyone's had the dream where they're naked or the tooth falling. It could be just a similar neural pathway that's triggering. Oh, you're gonna do the lifetime, the alternate life jump, as you deal with the next 30 minutes or whatever.
I really think if like using that same analogy, right, where that ball is like rolling across the canvas, if you think about like every decision that you've made to this point, you know, is not like every decision you've made, not every life event, but every decision you've made to this point is like, has led you to where you are like right now. So if you think about like what guides your decisions and like, if you can either place it to like what your mind is attuned to, like, hey, I like doing this. I like doing that. I like doing this. You're attracted to certain things. So one day you might wake up and like, I think we just talked about this. One day you might wake up and you don't like movies anymore. You like books and you want to write a novel and you don't know where that inspiration came from. But like that might just be you just like switching that timeline and just crossing over to like, you've always been a novel writer, but like, boom, here it is.
Yeah, dude. It's like this timeline, there was an opportunity to take advantage of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're here and you're like, why do I all of a sudden don't care about this anymore? Yeah. I've had a couple of those in my life where like, this was like what I thought and this was the thing I wanted to do. And then I just went, I don't really like this anymore. And that's weird. Have you ever had any of those?
It's a weird feeling. It feels like foreign, but it's like, it may be just like a new you, but what if it's not new? What if it's you, but it was you in a different timeline and you're just like switching over?
Well, they're all you.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's the same ball. It's the same ball going across. It's just like, hey, this track is already, you know, rolled across. I'm just taking a different track.
Yeah, I think when you get outside, this is the dumbest they ever said, but when you get outside of time, things get a little hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the fourth dimension?
No, time's like the fifth one.
Is it the fifth?
I don't know for sure. All I know is I thought that was probably it until I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson say they have up to like 16.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
crazy.
Huh?
Yeah, it's just mind blowing. Yeah.
Dude, so, he's the man. I do have to be honest. When Ryan, I don't even remember. I totally projected the whole thing. But Ryan said something in regards to Bill Nye. And then he also mentioned Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
And then I took it for a run and was like, don't ever compare those two. But I'll say Neil has grown with me much better as I've gotten older.
He has a good way of explaining things.
As I learned going through my version of school, I have to be taught a certain way, and it really helps that the teacher's like into it.
Yeah.
And he talks about it like he just found out about it. Like you talking to me about ChatGPT when you're like, it's happening.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
And he's done this whole life and he still talks about it that exciting, which makes me think it has to be so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just hang on his words when he talks. I even got his Astrophysics for People in a Hurry book.
Yeah.
And for like 30 minutes, I understood how time worked mathematically. I was reading it. It was like coming in and out of the Matrix with like seeing the ones. I was like, right. I get it. No, I don't. Oh my God. I think I kind
of
get it.
No, he's the passion. I think that's like one of the biggest things. I mean, Bill and I was passionate, you know, when we were younger, but like, okay, this may be a hot take, but I feel like any like teacher or instructor, somebody in an institution should be passionate if they're teaching kids, because like, if you think about any other aspect of life, if you have a boss or you have an employer, and if they're not passionate about making money, like that business is not going to move forward. Like if you sign up and you get a job working at, I don't know, a coffee shop, and like your employer's like, I don't know, you can come in at 8 or 9 or 10 whenever you want to show up, just show up, clock in, and then like that's it's never going to work, right? And
dude, the skate park that I worked at was the product of that. Like I feel like we all kind of screwed ourselves because we didn't think that it could go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the amount of times people would come in and we'd be like, just come on it. We didn't charge people. We were just losing money. Give away stuff thinking we're just all bros having a good time, whatever. And then it goes under.
You're like, we got to pay rent.
Whoops.
Yeah. So and like I was always, every teacher that I had that I like was passionate, I always learned so much from that. Like, it was an enjoyable class, and I still remember my 10th grade English literature teacher. She was amazing, and she was passionate. She would like come in dressed up as like whatever we were reading that day. She would dress up as like the protagonist or the antagonist.
Oh,
or whatever.
That's awesome!
Yeah, and you know she would read in character, and it was like
that's actually helps me out a lot too.
Yeah,
I do agree with
like,
that.
And it was just like, man, this seems that she was like the best teacher, but it was like I wish that was like more common. You know
what? And what grade or class was that? Did you say?
So I had her in freshman or sophomore year and senior year for like AP Lit or something like that.
I had a history professor in college who was like that, and like he like acted out stuff. He was super goofy, but it just entertained the crap out of me. That I took his for the next. You had to have history one and two.
Yeah.
And so I took him for both. He was just super fun. He was a cool dude. I wonder what he's doing now. I remember. Oh, never mind. But I remember running into him in the wild once, and it was kind of awkward. But funny.
I could tell
he was like, I didn't want to see you.
It's like running into your psychologist. You're like, I don't want to deal with these problems.
I've seen my therapist once in the wild, but we were far enough away we didn't have to. And what was crazy was like our first time meeting, she told me, she was like, if I see you in the wild, I won't approach you. If you want to come say hi, you can.
Yeah.
She was like, just don't take it personally.
I think that's like probably the most professional.
Yeah.
No one wants their like, you know, their butt doctor to walk up to them like, hey, how's the butt doing?
Yes.
You know, like that ain't good.
And it's funny because I remember she said that and I was like, I want to come say hi to you. And then the first time I saw her in the wild, I was like, no, I get this. I don't need to. I'll see you another time. We're still going through my anxiety, but it totally helped. I assumed therapy helped.
Yeah.
But it super helped.
It's super helpful.
I was like, wow.
Yeah. Sorry then COVID, that's one good thing that came out of COVID. I know a lot of people went through some struggles, but yeah, COVID definitely started therapy, and that was like life changing.
It's kind of wild. If you go back in time, they made fun of them and all the content we consumed.
Yeah.
Like Neil in the Santa Claus. He's a therapist, and the whole time he just keeps trying to be like, Charlie, do you see him here right now? Or whatever he's always doing.
Then
there's an episode of Friends where Phoebe dates a therapist, and they just kind of make fun of him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I never realized that was kind of the public perception of it to some extent.
Yeah. Mental health is definitely like taking forefront, like the front seat now, which I'm super grateful for.
Yeah.
Like,
it's had a good, I don't even know if I want to say comeback, it finally got its due.
Emergence. Yeah.
Like, I was just going to say essential oils, but I was kidding. okay, so...
Hey, I like essential oils.
Do you feel like... I do, too. Okay. Do you feel like we talked about aliens enough?
Yeah. No, but I mean, you can never talk about aliens enough.
Well, right? I'm going to stay in the general area, but I have another question. Yeah, let's and I don't it. Know keep, if you can orbit. Talk about it, so you just have to...
Yeah, I'll just say I sign an NDA, and we'll just, like, keep moving.
Okay. Or maybe we do a hand sign, like, you can, like this is...
She's like,
this
Charlie?
Is, yeah. Did we fake the moon landing?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna have to skip that one.
Darn it!
We're going to have to skip that one. We're going to skip that one.
Dang.
Next.
One of these days. Which studio did they use as a director and...
Well, this one I'm gonna have to put these bad boys on, but hold on to these for
we
a while.
We do the lighting from behind, so it's just a silhouette.
What's the what's like the voice thing? It's like
yeah. We can do that. I can do that.
The Charlie Brown effect. Yeah. Not at liberty.
Okay. Dang it. I don't know how I've not thought to ask you that one. Do you remember when I called you and asked you what like harp these. Was?
Which what was?
HAARP, HAARP, the radio. They do something with radio frequencies. It's in like Alaska. It's a huge land of radio frequencies.
I seriously do not know what that is.
Okay, because I remember you're doing this again, but I called him after I saw a documentary on it, and you did this same thing where you said you didn't know what it was, but it felt like you knew what I was talking about. And then I remember he used to do this to me all the time, but when I was in my big conspiracy phase in like 2016 is probably its peak. Eric kind of talked me off a lot of the cliffs. I would basically watch a documentary, get coffee with him, and be like, ah! And then after enough of those, I realized I'm fixing nothing.
Yeah.
So I still like it, but I don't freak out about it anymore. But I would call him and start trying to get clues. And at a certain point, he would always be like, "Hey, man, I gotta go."
You just get off the phone. Yeah, on the record, there no clues were ever answered.
No, you just would make me confused and laugh, and then you'd hang up. And it was kind of fun. It was why I would do it. I'm sure I've tried that with Ryan too.
Yeah, no, he's a vault, like a vault.
Yeah, you guys can't talk, and it's like, dude.
You guys talk to each other.
Can you and Ryan tell each other?
You
things?
Know what's crazy? Because like he does everything like underwater. And like when we try and like have conversations, and you know, he'll use, first of all, the military is full of acronyms, and it's like for no reason other than they just like talk in their own language.
It's like a mega church.
Yeah.
They do the same thing. It drives me crazy.
They talk their own language and for no reason. And then if you try and like Navy guy and a space guy or Air Force guy or whatever, like
yeah, you do
speaking,
both, right?
Yeah. Speaking two different languages, trying to like, oh yeah, we do this, we do that, we do this. And you're like, what is that again? And it's just like, it's so hard because you're like, sometimes you even forget what those acronyms mean. You just know what it looks like, and you're like, you know, I could describe to you in a picture, but
it's
I
like,
don't know what it means anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like the name of a subject.
Yeah,
but you don't actually. It's like MIDI. I feel like a lot of people know what MIDI is for in our audio world, but knowing what the
I don't know what that is.
It's okay. You don't have to.
Okay.
DAW, same thing.
Oh, okay.
Digital audio workstation.
Was that cool box at the 800 that was sitting on the
That's thing? A headphone amp.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's it. Had we worn the headphones, we would have been using those to hear the mix.
Gotcha.
And it's pretty cool, and I'm not gonna be nerdy on it, but it can do some cool stuff.
Lossless.
Okay.
Are y'all taking questions from the audience?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's get them.
So, y'all hear about the kid who hacked for
Grand Theft Auto 6? Yeah. Let's dive into that. Also, would you want to eat pizza on screen?
You guys don't want that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we'll wait.
Yeah. No, but if you want to eat pizza,
No. I'm not gonna be the
this
only
is
one.
This is was it lilac? I can't have that.
You're right. That's a dangerous hoodie.
Yeah. It is. Also, I want to promote You Matter. This is a awareness for suicide. And suicide prevention. It's like a LA startup that happened by an artist named Damian Hampton. I probably tore that up, but I don't know. It's go check out his Instagram, You Matter, because you know, being in the military, that's like suicide prevention is like big because we lost a lot of people, more people to suicide than to war in 2022 and 2021 and
good
for
grief.
For the past couple of years. So yeah, but yeah, no, getting back to the fun stuff though,
Yeah, well, we got. I'm glad to promote that.
Yeah.
Because that should be fixed.
But it is lilac, like as I mentioned before.
Yeah, lilac.
Yeah.
I would have gone with. I already forgot, but there's a color purple that's not called purple. It's called something else that Haley just taught me.
I do like that.
Lavender.
Ooh, it could be a lavender.
I think it's lilac though. It's a little lighter than lavender.
It's lighter. Yeah, exactly. Lavender is So and if we were, you know, I like what is it? Mauve.
I do like mauve.
Yeah. That's
I couldn't
close.
Point it out to you, but yeah. I know I've said I like that color, and Haley said mauve.
It's this and like a little bit darker, like a hue of red or pink. I think so. I mean purple. It's a hue of red and pink. Yeah, mixed with purple. Yeah. It's actually pretty cool. Like if I I'm probably wrong of saying that's what the hue is, but we'll see.
I don't even know what hue means. My understanding of colors is more like a pie chart. There's just the red, orange, yellow, and I understand that there's ones differently, but I don't know any of their names. And so I'll always be pointing out something and call it orange, and Haley's like, that's not orange. And then she knows the real word for it.
There was something that we brought up a couple minutes back, and I don't remember what it was, but I was going to say something.
Before the moon landing? Aliens? You said you can never talk too much about aliens.
And then there was something else. What was it? There was, I can't even remember what it was.
Tower 7. You were going to give me your thoughts on Tower 7. Harp. Was it the radio?
No, wasn't that. No.
Oh, GTA 6.
Yes.
Eric's the man.
Yes. Okay, so you want to hear my take on this?
Yes, but yeah
okay,
let's hear yours.
So my take on this is like, this is marketing 101. This is Grand Theft Auto had this thing in the chamber ready to go, and you know his son. I mean, how long does it take to make Grand Theft Auto? Like it takes them years, like at least 5 years to get a concept out, to get it.
Do we need to explain the backstory here?
Yeah,
of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Some kid who hacked Grand Theft Auto 6 went to prison for life. Is that what I read today?
I don't. Yeah.
Okay. There's probably some stipulations.
But
that was
like the
article. Yeah.
That's the headline. So you're right. It takes them like at least 5 years to get the concept loaded up and you know storyboard you know broken out, and then they have to start you know developing it, put it in an environment, and you know have all the developers working on it. Like they have this thing locked away in a vault for a long time, putting this together, and then all of a sudden. It's ready to go, and then, it was leaked. Like, if this thing was going to be leaked, it would have been leaked, like, 2-3 years ago, you know, if it was actually leaked. But, you know, this guy was a developer's son, and it leaked, and it was, like, it just happened to be leaked, like, beautiful imagery of the game. Like, it wasn't, like, polygons, like, moving across the screen. That's what a leak would usually look like. Like, hey, Grand Theft Auto, and it's, like, half of it's rendered. No, this looked amazing. Like, the game looks amazing. Like, I can't wait to play it. But do I believe it was leaked, like, accidentally? And no. This is marketing 101.
Interesting. So they're sending someone to jail for marketing?
I don't think they're actually going to go to jail. I think that's like this. It's another.
It's
thing.
All part of the market.
It's all part of it. It's all part of it, man.
It'll end up when it's all said and done. It'll be a little slap on the wrist and a little good game. That was fun. Yeah.
And get a little revenue on the back end. Maybe do some house arrest. There's no way this person.
He's stuck in a hospital. Was he sick or something?
You know, maybe he did get hurt. I don't know what happened. No.
A Fire Stick TV and a hotel television
and something else stupid.
So where did the hospital come in?
How did he got arrested and placed in a hospital?
He got arrested.
Like
and
he got roughed up during the arrest?
I don't know about that.
I'm trying to speak for Eric. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No, this is brand
new. Well, he
doesn't
have a mic.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brand new information about that. I didn't know about the hospital, but from when it first came out, I think it came out like a week or two when the trailer dropped.
Yeah, we all watched it up here.
Yeah, it had like 6 million views in like 15 minutes or something like that. And Reddit was like going insane. Like, it was just the headlines were developer son leaks, GTA 6. So didn't know anybody was in the hospital, but hopefully he's okay.
Do y'all hear that screeching outside?
Yeah. I heard it.
Is that because I brought up the moon landing?
They had to listen in to make sure he didn't steal
Yeah,
you did a great job.
I know. Yeah, just hopefully you don't hear boots coming up the stairs. That would just ruin this podcast. Any chances we could be arrested, like, I don't know, softly and not have everything destroyed in here?
This is lilac.
Yeah, that's right. Just smears pizza on my sweater on purpose. We were listening in the FBI van. We heard everything.
Oh, man. Do you have, tell me what you can, but like, is it interesting to you that that's part of life now, that like there's secrets to hold and there's, or do they feel like secrets? Or they just feel like you, or like, I just can't talk about this, and you turn it off.
It's really not that interesting. It's more like, are you talking about like life, like when I see like the news or something like that, and there may be something that I did that like pertaining like to it.
Think about that. What's that like?
Oh no, it's, I don't even like register it. Like it's,
I've never done anything that's made the news, by the way. Yeah. So to me, it would register.
No, okay.
That's amazing, dude.
No. If I'm getting the question right, look, what's life like now? Or
yeah, just you at least know what it was like being alive before it was like that, and now
before, like when we say that, what's
okay? Let me clarify. Before having a job that can affect the world,
yeah,
and the what you can and can't say about it, and having that be a part of just everyday life now.
So what I view it is, there are multiple people, like when I say multiple, like thousands of people that were in the same role as me, and like I think about like all the different servicemen and women who like worked in the same role, and like they've all been able to like do that job and like get out of that role and move into something else. And like, I'm like, oh, they're completely normal. And it's like, so I'm like, yeah, same here. Like it's just, think about like, it's just as if you were working. I mean, I'm really trivializing it, but like if you were working at like a pizza shop and they're like, don't share this ingredient. And then you go and work at another pizza shop and you're like, hey, what was that ingredient you worked on back there? You're like, dude, I don't even remember. That was 6 months ago. Like, It's like a part of it. It's like, it's not like it's every single day I wake up in the morning, like Manchurian Candidate, and like repeat like everything they told me, and then, you know, and try and live a normal life. Like I forgot a lot of it.
You're doing a great job.
Isn't he good at this? Isn't he good at this?
Here we go.
Yeah, but really,
so I was just talking to you on the phone yesterday, I think, and at one point I mentioned something about, oh, when you said you went to Turkey by yourself,
yeah,
and you were a little bit nervous, mm-hmm. and I was like, and that's a 6'4" military trained man.
6'2", 6'4" on Tinder.
Okay. But that's, I think I said 6'4" though. 6'4" military trained man alone in Turkey. Imagine being like 16.
Yeah.
And being on a vacation there and getting lost or something was kind of the conversation we ended up landing around. But, and you said, I forget that I'm military trained, but I...
Yeah, no, I didn't even think about that. But by the way, let me add another shameless plug. I am taken, so I'm not on Tinder, just so everybody knows.
Okay, yeah,
so
anyway, we should dive into that in just a minute.
Yeah, we'll dive into that. Going out there, it's exploring a new country, man. That is like one of my favorite things to do. I wish I could get paid to do that. I wish I was born 10 years ago, where I was a TikTok influencer and I could travel the world and live that life.
Could have done. You wish you would have got Bitcoin.
I wish I would have got Bitcoin. I wish I would have started a YouTube channel and started screaming on the mic like PewDiePie. All those things. That would have been great. But no, I was born too late. Video games. That's another thing. I wish I got paid to play those. But traveling, getting to go and travel and going to Turkey, that was like a life-changing trip, and going alone was like life-changing. But yeah, I definitely was. And when I say afraid, I was just like apprehensive and anxious about like what I was
just aware of the situation.
Yeah. And it's just, and I think it was just a clash of the cultures that I just like wasn't like ready for, but it seriously blew my mind with all like the amount of amazing people I met there, and like the foods and the smells and the experiences, the architecture, all of that was like mind blowing. Cause it, like growing up in the States and different parts, you know, in the South, on the West Coast, even parts of like the Rockies, then flying all the way over to Turkey is where like the East what do you call it, Europe and Asia come and mix together was so different, right? There was not a lot of people spoke English where I went, not saying that not many people in Turkey speak English, but where I went, there wasn't a lot of English being spoken, and you really had to pay attention to what was happening around you. You had to look at the signs. You had to, you know, watch how everybody else is interacting and okay, so this is, we're walking this way. We're walking on that side of the street. We're doing this. Oh, this is like, you just walk into a bakery and everybody's buying this certain bread. You know, I'll try that bread out, you know? And just like, you know, do as the Romans do, as they say. Mm-hmm. But like, I got a rental car and I started in Istanbul. And I drove everywhere. I went from Istanbul to Izmir to Antalya to Bodrum to Cappadocia to Ephesus. Like, I went all over it. I drove all over that country. And I wanted to see as much of it as I could, because traveling on your own and like experiencing a place firsthand is like, I think it's an amazing experience if you can, if you have the privilege to do it. So, yeah, there's my shameless plug for Turkey if you haven't been.
Yeah, I want to go. All the cool history books I've been reading for the past few years, they just talk about Turkey so much. It's just made me go, man, everything ancient that's cool passed through Turkey at some point.
Yeah.
Because just the amount of times I read, which is now modern day Turkey, and I'd be like, oh, snap. Like, that's so cool. There was always whatever was being talked about before, that was always super cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's awesome. You got to go.
Made a whole song, Istanbul, Constantinople, right?
Yeah. So, what are you excited about now in life? And we can maybe start with the relationship, but then also just like,
yeah,
like you're in life part two, part three, whatever.
Yeah,
like starting anew. I don't know if we've mentioned this. You finished your time in the military as of
like 3 months ago.
3 months ago.
Yeah, 3 months ago. Yeah. Yeah, no, I got into military at 18 and got out 15 years later, and that's crazy. Yeah, 33, starting a brand new life is I feel like I'm not like an anomaly doing that. I think there's a lot of people coming out of COVID starting a new life, and mine was just in the military. Someone else's might have been in accounting. Someone else's might have been in engineering, and, you know, they put their time in, and now they're like, you know what? I did what I was told to do. Now it's time for me to do what I want to do. And, you know, I think in your early 30s or mid 30s or whenever, really. But especially now for me, it's like this is a time for me to get to do what I want to do. And I have like I have the knowledge. I have the background. I have the wherewithal to go and pursue it. So I'm most excited for really just like waking up and blocking my time throughout the day. And that is completely different than how my life has been in the past. And so that's something I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being passionate about what I do. One of my friends actually just moved to Germany, and he moved to Berlin, and we had coffee when he came back. He came back just to see his family for Christmas. So actually before I flew here, I had coffee with him. And I asked him, what's the biggest difference over there that you've noticed in just the 3 months that you've been in Berlin? Because he lived in Seattle and he's a big tech guy. So he worked for all the big tech companies out there in Washington. And he said, you know what? One of the biggest things I noticed is that when you meet somebody, the first thing they ask you is, what are you passionate about? What do you do for fun? Instead of here in the States, it's, what do you do for work?
Yeah.
And that's a huge mind shift. You know, your whole paradigm changes whenever you look at what do you live for compared to like what keeps the lights on for you. And if that's like the forefront of your mind, for me at least, it's the forefront. It's like, okay, what am I passionate about? I've checked the box of doing what I needed to do. I'm like, and I want to like start getting into my passion. So that's what I'm most excited about.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's neat that or it's just good to hear. It feels like you got a good zoomed out. This is where I'm at. And then you've developed a plan of some sort. And now you're excited about getting to implement.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so cool.
Hey, that was a good question. Thank you.
So what about your significant other? Do you want to say publicly on the internet.
Oh man, that's awesome. So out of respect for the privacy and of the relationship, I'm just going to say she's amazing. One of the most secure women I have ever met. She is just like so kind and loving, and I'm like grateful to have her in my life. So it's been a full year of dating. It's been 2 years of knowing her. But you know, it's seriously for me, it's been a lot of growth, and that's something where I can say like, I'm really excited about her, and I'm really excited about how I've grown as a person being around her. So that's when I know something is real. Something is, you know, it's mutually beneficial and it's uplifting on like on every aspect. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. She's an amazing person.
Well, I'm super happy for you because I've heard about her for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And then when it kind of all became official, however, it did. Again, I don't want to make you share too much, like, I don't even know if I've asked, like, how did it become official?
Mm.
I think we just started talking about how it was.
Yeah. We were talking for a while. And I think one of the biggest barriers for us, because you know we're out on the West Coast, but one of the biggest barriers for us was just like proximity. She is an hour and 15, 20 minutes away, and so it's like dedicated time to go and see each other.
Is that including traffic or not including traffic?
That's like including everything. Yeah, traffic. Okay, yeah. You know, but anywhere you go out there is traffic. Yeah. But yeah, so it's dedicated time. It's you have to like really want to be there and like. On days when you're like, man, I'm just so tired. I don't want to do anything. I just like, you're like, no, like we planned this. We're going to go hang out. And you get there and you're like, man, I'm so grateful that I made this drive. Cause yeah. You know, and you know, stepping into a real relationship that is, I don't know, uplifting and it just like brings life is, I want to say is different than other, I've been in good relationships before, but this relationship has really grown me as a person, and not in a like a painful way, but in like a loving way. I think that's like one of the biggest differences. Like you learn a lot from relationships, in good or bad ones, but learning a lot and being like and growing with like love, as opposed to like, man, that was really painful. I'm never going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, what is it? I don't know if it's positive reinforcement versus like negative reinforcement. I don't know what the term is, but yeah, it's positive. It's really good.
Yeah, it would definitely be positive reinforcement, but even maybe some of the tough learnings were done in a way that was positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like timing. And this is the last thing I'll say on this timing. I think for me, I'm in a better place than I was 2-3 years ago. And it's just like the perfect timing, you know, meets like the person that mm-hmm. I'm not calling anybody perfect, but the perfect timing for myself like collides very well with who this person is that I'm, you know, in a relationship with. Because if this person had met me 3 years ago, like I don't think I'd be able to handle this relationship as well as you know it's been.
Yeah, it's neat how that worked out.
Yeah,
Haley and I had something similar where like the dude I was by the time we met, like, I would have had, I think that's the only person I could have been to get her attention
mm-hmm.
and make her want to take her time to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
Just the year before, I wasn't thinking about who I was becoming. Yeah. And, you know, that's something that's kind of crazy. You have to, like, it's good to check in and be like, who am I becoming? What habits have I made? I remember asking Jason Hobbs one time, just like, who am I in your life? Like, you have your version of reality and what you experience, and I come in and out. Am I okay? Like, do I make it better? You know, just trying to be aware of who I am outside of this. You know, I'm just now realizing there's a word song I wrote in the first. I think some of the only lines in it is just, who am I in this life or the others?
Mm.
And not like other lives, but like other people's
lives. For the other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just to let you know, you've always have my attention, Johnny.
Ah, thanks, man. Is there anything else you want to say or go over? I feel like we could talk forever about everything. So I just want to, we got to do it again.
Yeah, we definitely got to do this again.
What's up? No, I want to know.
What's up?
You ever find that arm or chip that Skynet was studying?
Skynet was studying an arm and chip thing?
Is that a... that's from Terminator, right? Yeah, okay, that's a Terminator question.
Raytheon? He texted to me, I thought, that's a great question.
No, I'm more concerned about, like, have you guys seen that robot that, like, opens doors? And, like, that little dog robot?
Yes, the... Who makes all that? Boston Dynamics robots are terrifying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The robot assistant dog.
Yeah. One of my first thoughts when I saw that was like, that'll be the new tax collector. Yeah. Like, that thing will be. That's what'll show up. You know.
It's just like it's got like one side for receiving taxes, the other side for like tasers,
eating and, you and
dragging you out in the street.
But no. I feel like when we're done, there's going to be some things I wish I would have talked to you about.
There's always going to be something. And that's the beauty of this relationship, man. I know we're going to have more things to talk about. And I love to come on this podcast again.
Thank you so much. I want you to. Yeah. It's fun. I love how anytime we talk on the phone, it just starts. It's just like somebody answers and it just starts and goes. Yesterday, I was supposed to find out what time we were going to do this. And we talked for 40 minutes, and then you had a meeting, and you had to go. Yep. And you're like, I know we never got to it. And I was like, I'm so sorry. It's like, whoops.
I love that.
Dude. Well, thank you for doing this with me. It's just been a fun thing to do. And while I was collecting friends, I was like, you're in town a couple times a year.
Yep.
We always make an effort to see each other. I was like, I hope we can pull this off. And it's all I thought about all day today was this. It was really hard to do anything else today. Because I was just like, I'm going to... It's because, you know, your spirit, at least my spirit, there's a part of me that almost has always felt the same age. And then there's a part of me that is definitely aware that I've grown and stuff. But like the consistency of you in my life since being a child, there's just a...
It's crazy.
It helps me remind me I'm me.
Yeah.
It's good to
have friends like that. Yes. Seriously. There's like a reflection of like, you remind yourself of like who you are. Like you have your inner child and you're just like, you know, you're making sure you take care of that whenever you cultivate these relationships that last like a lifetime.
Yes, and it means the world to me that you do that.
Thanks for having me here. Seriously, this has been great, and I can't wait to come back and do this again. One, I want to see how this sounds and looks because this is awesome. I didn't think I was going to be able to do this. So
yeah, cool. I can't wait for you to see it. It should sound good and it should look good, and hopefully it'll make you want to do another one. Yeah. And we can try to do it maybe every time you're in town. Yeah,
if it's bad, we'll just get ChatGPT to just go over the audio and just give me a different voice.
We'll just tweak everything. Awesome. We'll just do a tone anytime I say your name. Lilac Blob. Well, do you want to say anything before you go? Like your first pet, your mom's maiden name, anything? Anything like that before?
Last four of your social?
Yes. Any of that?
No, this is cool.
We'll have to dive more into your director career too on the next one.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't really call that much of a career. It was a 3-year stint and it was awesome. But yeah, we'll definitely talk about
it. I love it because you always talked about wanting to do it when we were growing up. So I love that you did do it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I did.
And hey, doing something and finding out it's not your favorite thing, I've done that
before. Yeah. No, it's still my favorite thing.
Oh, my version was different. I went, I don't think I want to do this, but I used to. I've had one of those.
No. Well, I'll eventually get back to it. But yeah, we can talk about it next
time. Okay, cool. Yeah. Because I used to call Kyle with any time I had a movie idea. Like, especially in Sherman when I was working from home and I didn't talk out loud like all day and I was just in the studio. If at lunch I would have an idea, I'd call you and be like, okay, movie idea. Just so because you're going to do something with it. I'm just going to think about it and then move on. But okay, I just can't wrap up because it's so much fun. No, but thank you.
Yeah.
Kyle, everybody. Thanks for your time serving our country. Thanks for being my friend. We love you.
Love you guys too. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thanks, dude. Thank you so much.
Wow. This is awesome.